Okay, so we are holding today, Rabbi Isai, in Masechet Shkalim, and today's daf is daf Zayin. We're holding at the bottom of Vav Amud Beit. We've just gotten up to the question of Lishmo v'shelo Lishmo b'shar Yimot Hashana. So remember, over here we have this really cute question, because what happens is that we reverse the norms, right? Normally, Lishmo is kosher, shelo Lishmo is pasul. And we want to know, what if you mix those two machshavas? Over here, it's the exact opposite. Lishmo is pasul, because Pesach, Lishmo, Bishar Yimot Hashana is pasul. But a Pesach Shalom Lishmo is actually kosher, because then it becomes a shlamim. So how do we look at that? If you mixed your machshavas, you did part of your Shchita Lishmo and part of it Shalom Lishmo, but it was during the other part of the year, wasn't on the Yudalit, on the time of the Shechita. So what's halacha over there? In other words, can we say that the Machshevas Shelo Lishma, which makes it kosher, since it was done subsequently, could that be machsherit, and could it be somehow, could it undo the damage of the initial part of the Shechita, which was done in Dafka Lishma, which should passel it? Says Rabbi Bon Barchia, b'shem Eshmo Bar Abba, that I would say that Mikivan, once he said the word Shalom Lishmo during the last Shechita, the last Simen of the Shechita, so that part recreates the Shechita, and it makes the entire Shechita kosher, because now the whole thing is Kilush Shalom Lishmo. Because as we know, a case of Shtika, where it was Eimet Stam, you didn't say what it was you were thinking about. So the din of Stam would have been that it would have been possible, because, I mean, if it's before the Zman of Shechita and it's still going to be Pesach tomorrow, let's say, then Stoma Lishmo would be Koi. And nonetheless, if afterwards you have a machshava to turn it into shelo lishmo, that should basically redefine things. In other words, because it shouldn't be any different if I said I'm doing it lishmo than if I just presumptively shechted it lishmo. Now, you could all understand that if presumptively you didn't say anything, right? And then at the end of the shechita you said, of course, I don't mean this as a korban Pesach, since it's not the zman for Pesach, I mean it as whatever. Shlomim, or the machlokas we had before, if you could change it even to an oila, and still make it kosher as a shlomim, whatever the halacha is, but the final machshava should redefine the shechita from the start. And therefore, I don't see any difference if he said beferish at the first part of the shechita, I'm shechting this as a Pesach, and then the last part of the shechita, he says, nah, well, I mean, that's ridiculous, I don't really realize a Pesach, I'm shechting it for a shlomim, right? So then it should be kosher. They said to Rabbi Bon, I mean, that's a little bit crazy. I mean, according to you, if there's no difference between actually saying openly that I am shechting it for Pesach, or saying, or just shechting without any open definition and just relying on the presumptive status of the Korban Pesach, I mean, so then you come out saying things that are not reasonable. I mean, because if you're going to say that, so then let's say somebody shechted the entire shechita, and he did it lishmo shel Pesach, right? Which passes it. And then he goes ahead, and he's zorek the dam, but dafka, not lishmo shel Pesach. So according to you, it should also help, because after all, you're saying that his expressed wish that he is shechting it as a Pesach is no different than just presumptively shechting it stam, right? So over here, we should say the same thing. Okay, now that he's expressed what he really wants, and he wants it as a shlomim, it should allow you to redefine the shechita from the beginning. It would be the same thing as shechting it lishmo v'shelo lishmo. It should be kosher. That's ridiculous. I mean, surely you also agree it's ridiculous. Once he passed it with the shechita, he passed it. Omer Abab Mamori, now wait a second over here. You're coming to attack Rabavin. I'm not so sure. I mean, how are you so sure that the din over there would be if it was b'shtika? All Rabavin said was that saying that it's Lishmo Shel Pesach is no different than the presumptive Lishmo Shel Pesach, right? So based on that, you come up with this big problem. Oh, so then if that's the case, since if you shechted it, it's stam, it would be kosher if subsequently you were zorek the dam shelo lishmo, then it would be kosher, right? How do you know? What makes you say that? Maybe it's not even true. Minolan b'shtika de kosher. I don't understand what that's the correct kirsa, is it? How in the world do you have a right to make that assumption? Maybe even if it would be b'shtika, it would be puzzle. Because once you completed the entire shechita, so then it was by definition shechter as a pesach. That was emet lishmo shelo bizmano would be possible. So I don't see how you could ask kasha and rabban until you can establish the data. I mean, you don't have the data for that. Okay, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that motar nazir l'nedava. So if a single nazir, as opposed to motar for nazirim or aniyim, but motar for a particular nazir, he set it aside. And so then if you have a Mosar, it also goes to the Nedava. Remember that what the Nedava means is the shofar that says on it Nedava, which there were six, we'll see later. And all of these goes to Kayetz HaMizbeach, which are an Eilas Tzibur. Now, says Rav Chista, before we jump to any conclusions, this is only true if the last carbon that the Nazir had brought was his carbon Chatas. So then we view the Moser as being Moser Chatas. Since we already learned out that Moser Chatas is to be brought as a Nedava, which we saw from the Pasuk, so therefore this is also the Moser Chatas. But let's say the last thing that the guy had brought would have been a Karban Shlamim. So he left the aisle to the end. So then obviously whatever is left over from whatever was brought last, no? So then the motar would be shlamim, and since he's a private shlamim, he can use it for his private shlamim. Amar Rebbe Zira, not true. I disagree. I taina afilu korvish shlamim lebesof. This is a halacha that we were mekabel, that, and it's one halacha, halacha achati ben nazir, that meiser nazir of any type is considered to be going l'nedova, and it does not come into the general category of meiser shlomim the way a private shlomim's meiser would be. And it's interesting that we have a brisa as a raya to Rabbi Zira, but we also have a brisa which is a raya to the way that we said it according to Rav Chista. And that is matnita mesayel adein or matnita mesayel adein. Matnita Messiah le Rabbi Zeira. We see a brayta that says beferish afilo hein ma'ot situmim kol shedmei chatatim uravot behem. So even if you have a bunch of different money put in together for the nazir, in which the guy simply put funds together and said, here is the money for my korbanot, including his chatas, his ayla, and his shlamim. The din is that as long as the mechata'ot, it should say, are mu'uravot behem, and this would be, even if he took out already the mechatas, and he said, okay, I'm taking this money out from this pile of money, this is for the chatas, and therefore what he's left with is only oil of Ishlami money. Nonetheless, the halacha is, it's still considered to be ma'ot stumim, and the halacha is that it's neifel to nedava. Tremendous chiddush, exactly what Rabbi Zira said. It's a halacha, maybe halacha l'mashem b'Sinai, he's saying that meiser nazir of any type goes to nedava. But we also have a brisa that tells us that Rav Chista is correct, and it always goes according to whatever was left over at the end. Because if the nazir would say, Eilu l'chatati v'ashar l'shar nazirot, I suppose he separates out the money for his chatas and the money for his other korbanas, his eila and his shlamim, and then he ends up dying before he was able to buy these korbanas, then we still have the cash. So then the halacha is that if somebody uses that money, he would be mayel in bekulan. So if he uses the entire money that was set aside, you would be mayel. But if you just take some of them, so then you wouldn't be mayel. Why? Because you can't be mayel in money for kachim kalim, remember. You can only be mayel in mi kachay Hashem. So it would have to be kachay kachim. And therefore, you can theoretically be mo'el even on the shlamim, but only after we set aside which part is going up to the Mizbeach, and then it becomes kachi Hashem. As long as it's cash, it's not kachi Hashem. It's not miyuchadim l'Hashem. So if you definitely were mo'el even in the kachi kachim, so you took the Tbei Ha'ela, so then you would be mo'el. You took the Tbei Chatas, you would be mo'el. But if we can't be certain that you did, and maybe you just took the money from the shlomim, so then that's not considered to be miyuchid l'Hashem. That's the point. Okay, so then if that's the case, the halacha would be consistent, like Reb Zira. If the halacha would be like Reb Zira, like we said before, it shouldn't matter, because all of it is in the Dava. Reb Chista Omar. Now, there's another issue. that Rivkista spoke about in terms of the Nazir, and that is the Meiser Lach Meishal Nazir. So remember that the Nazir also has to bring lechem. It's one of the cases where we bring lechem together with the korban. And over here, that lechem was left over also together, like the bunny that he had over here, where he died before he was makriv. So what do you do with that? You can't use it for anything. And that has to just rot. Omer Reb Yossi, yes, the Yos. That makes a heck of a lot of sense, because what are you going to do with it? There's nothing that you can do with it. You can never be makriv it b'fnei atzmo. Like Rivo Bifnei Atzmo, Ein At Yachol. There's no such carbon. A carbon of Lechem does not exist. So Ein Lecha Lechem Karav LaAtzmo. We never have a private carbon of Lechem. What are you going to do? You're going to give it for another guy's Naziris and say, hey, Joe, you know, your friend was Nifter and here's the money. It was left over. You're a Nazir. Why don't you use this for your Lechem? You can't do that. Because like Rivoim Nizudur Tacheret, you also Ein At Yachol. Because part of the Etzem Chiyav of every Nazirut separately is that that Nazir has to bring his own Lechem. She'ein Lecha Nazirut Ba'abalo Lechem. So if he would take this Lechem, then he wouldn't be Yotzi his Chiyav. Therefore, we were right in saying, Lefum Kach Tzarich Meimar, you've got no choice but to admit that Motar Lach Moshel Nazir, your Kav. You just have to leave it to rot because it's useless. Now, Sovri Meimar, so the Talmidim thought that this Svar of Rav Chisda, that there's nothing to do with it, should be true not only about his Lechem, but should also be true about the Motar Nisachav of the Nazir. So let's say he's supposed to bring Nisachim together with his Eilat Shlamim. If there was money left over, what are you going to do with it? You'll also have to just let it rot, right? Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Bon, absolutely not. Motar Nechasav is not the same. Motar Nechasav is Kachi Kachim, man. What's wrong with you? And Kachi Kachim, therefore, fall into the din of the Meiser Naziris, which goes to Nedava. And because of that, it goes into, just like the Meiser Chatos of the Nazir goes into Nedava, so do the Meiser Nechasav go into Nedava. Now, I'll die to the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bon. So according to what Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bon said, that Alibet Rabbi Chisda, there's a difference between Moser Nesachim of a Nazir and the Dinim of the Moser Lechem of the Nazir, which is only called Kalim. So according to him, so then Shmuel and Rabbi Chisda and Rabbi Lazar basically end up saying the same thing, if he's right. And let me explain to you what I'm referring to over here. Okay, when I mean Rav Chisda, I said that according to Rav Yossi, Rav Chisda, which Rav Chisda am I talking about? I'm talking about the Rav Chisda that I said before, that the Mosar of Nischei Nazir is considered to be Kachi Kachim, and it goes to the Meiser Nedava. Okay, so that's the one thing. Now, when I said that it's also Shmuel who would agree, I mean what I said before on the previous daf, which was Shmuel, where the Amar Reb Yossi, remember Reb Yossi said that I was there in Bavel and I overheard Reb Yehuda asking his Rebbe Shmuel, what would the din be if somebody's mafresh a shekel and he dies? And Shmuel answered him, since the shkolim are going to be used to buy kachi kachim, so because of that, there should be yiplul nedava. So that's basically the same yisod. And when I say Rebbe Lazar also agrees to this yisod, and they're all saying the same idea, that's Rebbe Lazar I'm referring to, it should say the Itmar, because it's not that he's saying, we're saying, I'm referring to the Rebbe Lazar, which, the Itmar, Motar Siris Ha'efa Shelo, excuse me, what do we do with the leftover money of a Kohen Gadol's Asiris Ha'efa? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Yolechem Liyam HaMelach. And that's because of the specific pasuk that excludes, even though, remember, we had this curious situation that in Yecheskel, the Navi mentions that the Kohen Gadol is going to be bringing his chatas, and we don't know of any such carbon. So the Gemara analyzed the meaning of the word chatas over there is the Asiris Ha'efa. Why is that? Because there is a chatas called Asiris Ha'efa, which is the chatas of Dale Dalus in cases of a carbon oil of a yoyred. So according to one man, Yomar, that meant that we give the dinim of a chatas to the carbon of every Asiris Ha'efa of a coin. and therefore it would be Neifel and Adonva. But Rabbi Yochanan argued, and he learned out from the Pasuk of Chatasu, that even though it's called a Chatas, it doesn't have the dinim of Meiser Chatas. Fine. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said it should be Yolichem L'Yam HaMelech. There's nothing you can do with it. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, look, basically, is it Kachi Kachim or is it not? It is. And therefore, Yiplul HaNadava. So that means we have three Shitas that agree that whenever we have Meiser Kachi Kachim, the din ipso facto is that it's Neifel L'Nadava. And now a word from our Kapitan. On this first day of the Omer Tov Shin Pei Aleph, our Kapitan has been leading the ship of state, I suppose, forward.
Don't even suggest it, my goodness.
I'll tell you, it would be a much better ship of state than we currently have. Why should we not suggest it? Just to save your skin? Okay. So the Mishnah has been discussing up until now what the halacha was, legabi meiser. Once we're talking about meiser, remember that the curious thing about the shkolim is that we end up using the shkolim because of tnaei beit din for various usages. And now this raises the question about various usages of other funds that are collected specifically for mitzvahs, and actually, like, how really fungible are these funds? I mean, do we have a right to make use of them for anything else? Are they specific for what they're collected from? So now we're going to go on to other dine moseros, namely, let's say motar shvuyim. You collected money in order to be paid a shvuyim. You have to use them to be paid a shvuyim. You can't change that to, let's say, a moschitim fund. But motar shavui, suppose you collected money for a particular individual, then if there's money left over, the understanding is that people who donated money for that particular individual's tzara, if the money is extra, you give the money to the individual for whom it was collected, because it has a focus on helping the individual. The same thing is true if you collect general tzedakah funds and there's leftover from the needs. At this point, you put it towards further needs of the same aniyim. I don't mean the same meaning to the necessarily same individuals who are aniyim, but to the same purpose of aniyim. Whereas if you collect it for a particular individual who's having problems, motar, a particular ani, those things are given to that ani. Because again, it's assumed that the concern in people's minds was to help out this guy. Motar ha-meitim la-meitim. The same thing is true if you have, let's say, a special fund for kvuras ha-meis, for people who cannot afford, didn't leave over money for their own burial. So that is used. If you have left over, it goes further to the same needs for the future. That's assuming that people will continue to die. The Mishnah doesn't discuss what is meant to be done with these funds when the world is finally mitukan, but that we'll discuss in further time. Motar ha-meit li-yorshav. If things, however, were collected to a specific mate, and there's more than necessary for his burial, so then the money is given to his heirs rather than invested in a more glorious end. That is to say, we could build a fancy ohel over his kever and put up a big marble plaque and have candles burning there, maybe connected to the electricity. I mean, it depends how much money was collected, and turn him yet into another saint with fax machines and so on. You could do all of that, but we don't. We take the money and we say, you know what, the guy probably is mevater on the fancy stuff, and he would prefer his heirs to get that money. Rabbi Meir says, I'm not so sure about that. So I would say, we don't know what to do with it. We'll wait until Eliyahu comes, and he'll tell us whether Lamaisa, this mate, wanted these funds to go to his heirs, or whether he prefers to have a nicer burial. Rabbi Natan Omer, absolutely we know. He does not want it to go for his heirs. He wants it for his own beautiful kvura. And therefore, motar hamet, use it to be bainin lo nefesh al kivro, build some kind of fancy ohel over his kevin. Okay, so now there is something that's pretty much similar to this thing. Let's say that money was collected for a mace, with the assumption that this base was known to be an absolute pauper, and we're not going to be able to bury him. And then, what do you know? It turns out that his mattress was filled with dollar bills, rather common occurrence. So now we've got all this money, but it turns out we didn't need all this money because he had a mattress full of money. So Rabbi Yirmiyah, he thought that it should be the same as it did in the Mishnah, and therefore all the extra funds should be given to his heirs. Amale Rav Ide de Chutra, come on, man, think about it. In this case, the whole point was that we were collecting money for a guy that's an absolute pauper. Now, it turns out he wasn't an absolute pauper. I mean, nobody would have given money to a guy who dies with $1 million in his mattress. So why in the world would it be given to the heirs? The whole thing is a mistake, and it's just money that was given to ta'ut, and therefore it should be refunded to the people who gave it. It never got a din of tzedakah at all. It's just a big mistake. De lo kavanan el alei. That's the only way they gave it to him. Now, the idea over here is that it was rather inappropriate to tell Rabbi Yirmiyah that Rav Edi should tell Rav Yirmiyah, come on, you know, haga atzmecha is a very not nice way of speaking. You know, why don't you think about it? Or it's like somebody says to a Rebbe, come on, you know, using that language, come on, is absolutely inappropriate. So Rav Yirmiyah said to him, listen here, you idiot, ana lo amare, did I tell you what the din is? So where the hell do you come off saying something? At minan lecha, would you ever figure out anything from in your life? Everything comes from me. Rabbi Yirmiyah apparently did not take very kindly to being told that he should come on and think about it again. Because basically, anyway, I mean, obviously there's other ways of understanding the Gemara, but I mean, that's the norm of saying that lashon, you know. So if Moshe lo amar Yoshua minolan, it's the same kind of, where would Yoshua get it from? Or where did Elazar get it from if he hadn't been told by Moshe and so on? Okay, so the question is whether, I mean, Lamaisa, it turns out that the Rosh actually paskins like Ravidi, so that it's considered to be a tos. Okay, now, we also learned that Alibet Rabbi Nasan, he's for sure, the mace is not interested in his heirs. He's interested in a beautiful burial. So Tani B'Shem Rabbi Nasan, Mutar Hamet Ibanelo Nefesh Al Kivro V'Yasel Zilu Fagabi Mitato. Look, I don't know how much money you got over there, but I mean, if you've got like a lot of money, you know, so make a beautiful, have people come in sprinkling incense and wine over the Orion and so on, and make it a really fancy kind of burial. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah, Tani. Ein podin shavi b'shavui. What we were talking about, money for shvuyim goes to general fund for pidyon shvuyim. But if you collected money for an individual shavui, you do not use that money for another shavui, even if the new shavui is the Gadol Hador, whatever. That's not who the money was collected for, and it's used only for the original. Furthermore, we do not use money that was collected for clothing for a poor person to flip it for clothing for another person that is found out to be more needy. However, the parnas, meaning the one who's in charge of the overall needs of the community, if they decide that it needs to be changed, all money is considered to be given al dat the parnasei ha'ir. And because of that, they can make that kind of change. But you as an individual, you cannot make that kind of change. You had this money set aside for so-and-so. That's who it goes to. Okay, now, question bichlal about the value of building some kind of fancy oihel on a mace. So Tony Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ein osim nefashot letzadikim. We do not make fancy kinds of oalim and so on, because for people that are tzaddikim and known as Tamid Chachamim, divrehem hein zichronam. I mean, we learn their words every single day. So it's a little bit outrageous, and I think anybody with a heart can't help feeling nauseated, walking into the Rambam's kever over there with the after Shas destroyed it totally, what used to be such a beautiful kever of the Rambam years ago. And I haven't been able to go there since because it's so horrifying, making this whole nutty kind of running water coming out of fountains. Each fountain is a different one of the books of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. I mean, it's just outrageous. The Rambam isn't dead to most people. You know, anybody who learns the Rambam, you're sitting there learning with the Rambam every single day. So what is this? This is the way I'm remembering the Rambam, with some water running off of an absurd quiche kind of design. It's horrifying. So Divrayim, Amen Zichronam. So therefore, it's absurd to do that. What are we overdoing it for? Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that we're not going to make a siman on the kever. There's always intent to make a siman on the kever in order to be marchik from Tumas Meis. So if we're going to make that siman, we'll make the siman as to whose kever it is. But it's not that siman is his zecher, because the learning of his words is going to last a lot longer than any type of 1,000-year monument. I mean, what good is it? What's 1,000 years when you're talking about learning Rabbi Akiva's words? It's a joke. Though because of that, I mean, why in the world would we translate something immortal into some silly kind of planetary rock or something? It's stupid. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan, Avi Masbich for Ozil. Oh, Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Now, this idea of the chashivas of what it is that the person has taught and the immortality of those words is very strongly brought out by the idea of quoting the words of a tzaddik or of a Talmud Chacham in his name. So that's the Kol Omer Dover Bishmo. Is maybe Gula La'olam. We know we had many Maitzim where Rabbi Yochanan was extremely upset about anybody who would say something over and would not credit him with that mimer. So there was once a Maitza where Rabbi Yochanan was older and he was leaning on Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba when taking a walk. And Rabbi Eliezer coming, and there Rabbi Eliezer would see Rabbi Yochanan coming. And he would run away and hide. He would go like to the side, hide in a doorway, and he wouldn't come over to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan may have looked like he wasn't looking, but Rabbi Yochanan noticed. And he knew perfectly well what Rabbi Eliezer did. And he says to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, this dreaded Bavli, meaning Rabbi Eliezer, has really treated me just terrible. There's two things that he does all the time. Chone de lo shal b'shalomei. First of all, he sees me coming around. You think he ever says anything? Does he say, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe? Nothing. Nah, he goes and he hides out, you know. And the other thing, not only that, doesn't he come over? He goes and he hides. It's outrageous. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi. So Rabbi Yaakov Baridi felt very bad that Rabbi Yochanan was upset at Rabbi Eliezer. So he said to Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, this is the way they are in where they come from. Kach Naigi Gabon. In Bavel, our minhag is that a person who considers himself to be of lesser chashivas than the Rav does not have the chutzpah to go over and tell the Rav, Shalom, who are you to tell me Shalom or to ask my Shalom? And therefore, the Ina Noagin Umikaimin, they found the pasuk, which they consider to be part of the way that you're supposed to be Noag, and this is Eov. So Eov was talking about in the old days when people gave me the kind of covet that I was roi for. So this is part of the Miyat Nenu Ki Archa Kedem, where Yov is saying, I wish that things was when I used to be that way. So people would see me, Ra'uni Narim, the kids would see me and they would hide because they were in such awe. Yeshishim, and the older people would stand up in my presence, Komu, Amadu. So you see from here that Ne'arim are Ne'arim. So in Bavel they held that anybody who's a Talmud and is on a lower Madrega, he should conduct himself the way the Ne'arim conducted themselves with Eov, and he should hide. Omar Lei. So Rabbi Yochanan said, okay, I hear, all right? So he saw right away that Rabbi Yochanan was still furious. So he says to Rabbi Yochanan this on the Pashtus, he's just changing the subject. Mar lemevet kami de adura tzalmi. Let me ask you something, Rebbe. What's the din? Would we be allowed to pass in front of, if we take this road, we're going to be passing in front of this idol called the Adura idol. Is it okay, or should we go another way? On my lay, Sir Rabbi Yochanan said, what, are you nuts? We're going to make a difference in the way we walk because of this insanity? Absolutely not. Walk right in front of him and let him rot. Avor kamoi v'sami enoi. Let it be like, rub out its eyes, basically, meaning let it sit there and be furious that we walk by and we don't show it any kind of interest. You can't pretend that it's meaningful. So he told him, Rabbi Yaakov, so you see, that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer did. You're telling me that if you just walk by something, that you're insulting it. And that's exactly why he went to hide. So you're telling me now that you agree with him. So, Yois Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Delo, Avar Kamar. See, he did the right thing in not walking by you, same way that you, Bedafka, want to walk by this idol. All right, let's say you're right, says Rabbi Yochanan. I'll tell you other things that he does, and then you'll see that there's a pattern over here of lack of covet. You know what else he does? Delo Mar Shmaitse Mishmei. He steals all my Torah. He's always quoting me, and he never says it's from me. You don't think that that's outrageous? So Reb Ami and Reb Asi, they come, they hear that Reb Yochanan is angry at Reb Eliezer. This is terrible. So they come to try to make him feel better. They said to him, Rebbe, you shouldn't get angry with him because there was a mice in the Beit Knesset Shel Tarsim, B'neger Sheyesh B'yet B'rosho Glustra. In this, we had this in Shabbos. So in that special, I used to have every craft used to have its own Beit Knesset, right? They still had, in Israel, they had many Beit Knesset that went according to party affiliation, you know. So you have the Pagi Beit Knesset, the Pagi Beit Knesset, and so on. Now, over there, it depended on your Histadrut connection. So the Tarsim obviously had a special Histadrut for the Tarsim. Tarsim are copper workers, and they had their own Beit Knesset. And over there, they had this Neger, Sheyesh B'rosho Glustra. Remember the case where you have this pig that fits into the door, holds the door locked or holds the door open, and I had on top a glustra, which is like a ball, so that if you turn it upside down, you would be able to use it as a pounder. Okay, so the halacha over there, we remember that there was a big machlokes there between Reb Eliezer and Reb Yossi. And they got so upset that they tore the Sefer Torah in their anger. Tore the Sefer Torah? That's insane. Come on. You don't really mean that. No, I mean, each one was grabbing the Sefer Torah. This one is saying, look at this pasuk, here's a raya to me. And the other one is saying, yeah, what about at the end of the parsha? He grabs the Sefer. Anyway, it turned out that the Sefer Torah was torn because of the fact that they were so angry with each other. It means Nikra Sefer Torah. Anyway, so Reb Ami and Reb Abi, as he said, so then there was a Zokein Echad. You know, Zokein Echad is very often could be referring to Eliyahu HaNavi. And, but in this case, he's Reb Yossi Ben Kisma, but he's also pretty much like a Navi. And he said, when he saw this, he said, I can tell you one thing. I'll be utterly shocked if this Beit HaKnesset does not become a church one day. For sure, it's going to become a church. And that's actually what happened. In the end, it actually turned into a church. So why is that? Because Kala Kayes Kilo Evin Avin Azara. And people getting that angry that it should be to the extent that a Sefer Torah was accidentally torn. Must be that there's a Sherish of Avodah Zarah in this place, and it's going to be a church. So it's very important. They say we're hinting to him. It's very important, Rebbe, not to get angry in a Beit HaKnesset. I mean, in a Beit HaMidrash. What, do you want to turn the yeshiva into a church? Says Rebbe Yochanan. He got even angrier. Chazav Amir Chutzpanyaks. These are Talmidim that are angry with each other. What does that have to do with me? I'm the Rebbe. Don't tell me what it is that he's going to do. I can get as angry as I want with this no goodnik. So then Rabbi Yaakov Baridi came in to try to get him off of Rabbi Eliezer. And we know that when Rabbi Yochanan got after somebody, that somebody usually didn't survive very long. So this was pretty much a Sakonas Nefashas kind of issue. So anyway, so Rabbi Yaakov Baridi says to him, Omarle, look, I mean, it says, Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe avdo, Kein tziva Moshe et Yehoshua, and in the end, it says that not one thing was left out from anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him. So this is the Psicha to Yoshua. And it says, Kein tziva Moshe es Yoshua v'chein asa Yoshua lo hisir davar mikol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Perfect for this time of the year in our Haftaras. And now I'm asking you, Rebbe, what do you hold? Do you think that every single time Yoshua said over a din in the Torah, he would preface his remarks by saying, Kach amar Moshe? Of course not. Well, so every three words he's saying, Kach amar Moshe. Ela Yoshua Yosheva Doresh. Everybody there knew that he doesn't have anything of his own to say. Everything that he's saying were the words that Moshe Rabbeinu told him. Obviously, he didn't say it over in the name of Moshe. It would have been ridiculous. So what's it? Then there are other things that are not in the name of Moshe. Yoshua Yosheva Doresh. V'yodim akol shatara shol Moshe. So I understand what you want over here. Afata, Eliezer is Yosheva. What in the world? He's supposed to say every three words? He's supposed to say, Kach amar Rabbeinu Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, that would be a belittling of your covet. The real covet is that everybody knows he doesn't have anything to say except what he got from you. Hako yodim shatorah shalchai. Ah, says Rabbi Yochanan. You guys, Rabbami and Rabasi, all you did was get me angrier. Why aren't you smart like this guy? He's got brains. Now, what he says makes sense. Now I'm not angry anymore at Rabbi Yochanan. Our friend, he knows how to tell people things that make them feel better. You guys, you say exactly the wrong things. You go, wait a minute. I mean, what's Rabbi Yochanan like? What's getting so hot under the collar? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, my kule high, the boy, the emrum shmaitan mishmei, but he can't be Michael, a guy who's going to steal his tire a little bit. You know what Rav Utner Zatzal said when they told Rav Utner, but this guy's stealing all of your tire. And Rav Utner says, don't worry. He was kind of bishinui. So what's Rabbi Yochanan so upset about? Says the Gemara, because David HaMelech himself, Av David b'kei sholei rachamim. Because take a look. It says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Agura b'olecha b'olcha olamim, echese b'seither k'nafecha sela. So I want to live in your oil of limud forever. So what do you mean forever? What do you think of that? David HaMelech was Moshe Foreman. He thought he would live forever. V'chi altal da'ato shel David, d'shi echai v'kayam le'olamim. Well, of course, he's the only one that we say, David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. That's exactly what ruined all of this Gemara for me when I tried to hit Moshe with it. So in the end, so what do you think? That David HaMelech believed that he would live forever? Nah, he's not crazy. El kach amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, eskesh yudvarai ne'amorim bebote knesiot, bebote midrashot, I want my words to continue to be said so that they become immortal for all of the Darius. That's what he was saying. Shimon ben Azira b'shem Reb Yitzchak omer tol kamit chacham shomrim dvar halacha mipiv b'olam hazeh siftotav rochashot imo bakever. Any Talmud Chacham who is quoted, it's as if his lips continue to move with him even after death. Shenem rav v'chikech k'yein hatov dovev siftei yishenim. So what is the meaning of that pasuk, that what comes from your chech, which is your palate, is like the best wine that there is. And then the pasuk goes on to speak of those just to make it clear, the idea over here of the grapes, the way that they used to process grapes in order to fully understand what's going on here. The way that they used to process grapes was they needed to let the grapes sit there and heat so that they could actually be squeezed afterwards. So it says in the pasuk, v'chichech ki yena tov holech l'dodi l'mei sharim, this goes to my lover in complete uprightness, dovev siftei yishenim. So that the lips of those who are sleeping will actually move. So what is that referring to? Because it's referring to the Komer Shel Anavim. The Komer Shel Anavim is the grapes that have been sitting there for a week, and they're now heating from oxidation. And when you touch them, you just touch them, it like becomes a gel. And miyad, kivan sheminiach adam etzbo alav, miyad dovev. The whole thing starts to bubble instantly, the slightest touch. Af siftoteyam shel tzadikim. This is the way it's with the lips, so to speak, of the tzaddik that still lives within Olam Hazeh in his words. Kivan sheomrim dvar halacha mipiyam shel tzadikim. So that holeich dodi baruch Avraham. Open up, man. But there you go. So the same thing is true of the tzaddikim, that a person says it dvar halacha mipiyam. It's the same, whatever is left of the person in Olam Hazeh is also satisfied with those words. And Rabbi Yochanan, therefore, was extremely makpid that he shouldn't be stolen. That is a tremendous hana. What's that? I'll ask them, why is it important for him? What does he care about what's in Olam Hazeh? He no longer has a chibur to Olam Hazeh that it should matter. So Ma'ana'ala, Bar Nazira says, look, even in Olam Hazeh, when a person has an extreme pleasure for something, that pleasure exists even as an aftertaste, doesn't it? Somebody drinks Yayin Konditin. So that taste remains in his mouth for a long time. And that pleasure, therefore, is not the pleasure of the memory, it's the actual event that is continued. Rabbi Yitzchak says, it's ka'adein d'shati chameratik. Somebody who drank konditin is flavored wine. Chameratik is somebody who has a deep joy of very high quality wine. So this was aged wine. And that provides, beyond the actual taste, it provides an ongoing benefit that's difficult to quantify. But nonetheless, we can recognize that there is such a thing as a hana'ah that is of the experience that one had in Olam Hazeh, even though he's not currently having that experience. And that is very much true of the Talmud Chacham's relationship to the specificity of the Divrei Torah, whose applicability in a direct sense is to Olam Hazeh, and nonetheless retains the sense of the ongoing experience even in Olam Haba. So Af Agav Deshatil, even though he's completely finished with it, he's got nothing left of it, but taima befuma. This may relate to the afikoman and the idea of Pesach and so on. Rav Gidol Amar, Omer Shmua b'shem Omra, if you are, this is also an amazing halacha, if you are saying over something in the name of the person who said it, it is not just a name. You have to see yourself standing in front of that individual and seeing him as a person, because the idea is, as it says, "Ach b'tzelem yitalech ish." So I mean, those who just know the pshat of this, they think that the pasuk means that a person, I mean, who is a talmid, should continue going through life with the image of his rebbe. But the Zohar explains that the idea of "Ach b'tzelem yitalech ish" is the nature of the presence of a human within the physical universe. And therefore, that is always part of the nature of the universe as we know it, if it isn't dependent in time. And because of that, you can't mistake it for a memory. It's not a memory. It's in the presence of that selim that the ish continues to be misalich with. And there was another Mocker that we have, who was very makbid, Ksiv. So it says in the Pasuk, that in Mishlei, it says, Rav Adam Yikra Ish Chassid. So the Rav Adam, meaning a person who is Rav, a great person. So regular people will give over Ish Chassid. Each one will give over his chesed, so to speak. That's a reference to people. In general, Shar Kol Adam. But in other words, in no time at all, everybody is saying things which were his chesed to the world, and nobody even remembers that they're his chesed. So what happens is that an idea that was a tremendous chiddush becomes the common property, which is a tragedy, because it really is this person's chesed and his contribution to life. And so the pasuk ends, Ve'ish emunim mi yimtza. Who can you find somebody that is really reliable and that would never proceed without knowing and recognizing to whom this Chiddush Torah came from and who he has to credit with it. And if he couldn't credit with it properly, he would not spread it. That's just regular people. Shar kol adam. But an ish amanim like Rabbi Zeira, no way. I'll tell you examples, right? Because he said once, amazingly, D'amar Rabbi Zeira, let me tell you something, gentlemen. Pay no attention to anything that Rav Sheshes teaches you. What? Yes, because he's the kind of guy who is blind. Rav Sheshes was blind. Since he was blind, he could not correctly image his Rebbe. And since he could not really properly image his Rebbe, so because of that, there is no way that I'm going to be able to give over something that he says in the name of a Rebbe that he wasn't able to image. Okay, this is a pretty, pretty tough kind of girsa. There is, however, another girsa that says, on the contrary, you can never have be choshesh, les natzrichin choshesh, never have any chashash that there's a misquote from Rav Sheshes because he's blind, because as a blind person, he develops a very, very sensitive feel for his Rebbe's voice, which I think is more logical. Amalei Rebbe Zira l'Rabasi. Another thing, once Rabasi said over something in the name of Bar Patya. So Rebbe Zira says to Rabasi, just tell me something. You knew Rav Patya? I mean, you personally knew him? Chacham Rebbe LaBar Patya? That you're saying over things in his name? How are you quoting something from somebody you don't even know? You can't image him, and therefore you have no right to talk about him. Omar Lay, Rabasi said, listen, Rabbi Yochanan, who is completely trustworthy, and I do know, he said over things in the name of Bar Patya, and I heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, and that is the same as being able to image Bar Patya. And once Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Asi, he said to him, you're always quoting Rav. Did you knew Rav? Chochem Rebbe LaRav? That you have the chutzpah of quoting him when you can't even image him and you have no idea what he is? You're saying it like what? It's the name? It's like just what? It's a mechanical nomer? Well, who cares? And he said to him, Omar Lay, so what, you're quoting him? Data Omar Shmaitzam Epi? Mishmei? Amalei Rav Ada Bar Ava, who is completely trustworthy, told it over to me in the shame of Rav, and when he said it over, he was able to convey to me what it's like to hear a Shmua from Rav. I'm just quoting names. It's amazing, Gemara. Absolutely amazing. Says the Gemara, after David HaMelech said, we quoted him about Agur Chabalach HaAlamim, you should know that there ain't dor she'ain bo leitzanim. There is no door that doesn't have, this is our girsa. So the other girsa is there's no generation that have leitzanim as awful as the door of David. So in the door of David, what did they used to do? The prutzei hador, the chutzpanyaks. So they would go near David HaMelech's windows where he was sitting and learning. And they would shout out, David, David, imatai banebet hamikdash. Imatai Beit Hashem Nelech. This is a reference to the Beit Hashem Nelech that David quotes in the Tehillim. Because what they were saying is, we wish you would drop dead already, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as long as you're alive, there's not going to be any Beis HaMikdash. What are you hanging around here for so long, huh? Get out of the way. So David said, even they're trying to get me upset. Yavoi Elai, Im Lo Hayiti Sameach B'Divrayim. I'm telling you, I should actually be punished if I wasn't literally happy. That's the Shira Malais. Samachti ba'onim li Beis Hashem Nelech. I used to be happy that people should want to have the Beis HaMikdash, even though they said it in that horrible way. And I would be willing to die if there would be a Beis HaMikdash. Because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, only ki yimlu'u yamecha v'shachavta et avotecha, then I will have your son make a Beis HaMikdash for me. So I would be happy to die. Says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tehem Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le David, no way, baby. Yamim shleimim ani monelach. I am not going to let you die one day early. V'lo yamim chaserim. What's the point of your son Shlomo that I promised you he's going to build a Beis HaMikdash? What's he going to do? Klum Shlomo bin chay yivne Beit HaMikdash. What's the added value? To be makriv these karbonos on? Believe me. Chaviv alai tzedakah u'mishpat, sha'ata oseh Yoter min ha-korban. I would much rather have more days of the incredible tzedakah and mishpat, which was the original, the gift of Avram Avinu, asot tzedakah u-mishpat, that was the derech Hashem, that you are able to bring in the world much more than all of these sacrifices. That's cheap to me. Shenemar, asot tzedakah u-mishpat, nifchar la-Hashem mizevach, ferish apasik. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu values, this Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu values, like it says in the Gemara, Tov li yom echad shata yoshev ozik batera mi elef olot shatid Shlomo bin chalakriv alai al gabei amizbeach, which we just had in our recent conclusion of Masechet Shabbat. Adran alach, li mitzarfim shekalim.
Bli neder.